Take your Bibles, if you would, go to the book of Judges in chapter 9, please, this morning. Judges chapter 9, kind of switching things up just a little bit. I've been preaching through Judges on Sunday nights, but I'm going to preach this message this morning, because tonight we're going to have a missions emphasis night, and we're going to look at some principles on missions from the life of Paul, and then I want to show you some pictures from our trip to St. Lucia, and to consider some things that God did there, some things God laid on my heart, some lessons I learned. He said, you learn things? I learned a lot of things in St. Lucia. And, you know, you can be an expert on a lot of things until you're put in the middle of the circumstances. And I learned a great deal from the Bartleys down there and from the circumstances there, and I appreciate so much the opportunity to go down there. In Judges chapter 9, I want to start reading verse 8. This is the oldest parable in the Bible. Judges chapter 9 and verse 8. It says, the trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. And the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man and go to be promoted over the trees? And the tree said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. And the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then the tree said unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, I will let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand it and to apply it to our lives, even this morning hour, now in Jesus' name. Amen. A parable is a practical story with a spiritual application. Jesus told many parables in the New Testament. Many stories that people were familiar with. He told a parable. A sower went forth to sow. Now, that was very familiar. If they had not, as farmers, gone and sowed wheat or rye or barley, they knew people that had. They had seen it happen over and over and over again. It was very familiar. And so he took that familiar instance and made a spiritual application to it. Here we find with the first parable, it's a story that's a little different from the stories that Jesus told, because it's a story of trees going to find a king. And you've never seen trees trying to find a king. But here he's using it to make a very practical lesson for us, something that I think is important for us to understand as Christians, important for us as we live our lives as Christians in the church, maybe in the workplace and in family, to understand this matter of promotion. Gideon, if we go back to chapter 8 and verse 32, it says, and Gideon the son of Joash died in a good old age and was buried in the sepulcher of Joash's father in Ophrah of the Abizarites. And it came to pass, as soon as Gideon was dead, the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal-beareth their god. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. Neither showed they kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon, according to the goodness which he had showed unto the land. And so Gideon dies. Israel, if we go back just a little bit in chapter 8 and verse 22, Israel decides they want a king. Gideon, we've seen a great victory over the Midianites. Gideon was a man who they thought was humble enough to be king, a man who had many sons, who could follow him in a hereditary monarchy. In verse 22, the men of Israel said unto Gideon, rule thou over us, both thou and thy son's sons also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said to them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. And so Gideon said, no, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to be a king. Now, Gideon was a judge. That was a different thing. But Gideon said, I'm not going to be the king. My son is not going to follow me. And my grandson is not going to be king. And so Israel wanted to set up a hereditary monarchy. But Gideon said, no. And then we see they turn very quickly to idolatry. It's interesting to me how quickly people can change. You ever notice that? How quickly they can be one thing and then another. It shows their true character. They forgot the Lord. They forgot Gideon, whom God had used to deliver them. And then we find that Abimelech, in chapter 9, verse 1, the son of Jerubbabel, Jerubbabel is another name for Gideon, went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren and communed with them and with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, whether it is better for you, either that all the sons of Jerubbabel, which are 70 persons, reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember also that I am of your bone and your flesh. So Abimelech, the son of one of Gideon's concubines, decides he wants to be king. And so Abimelech goes about not only to promote himself as king, but he decides that he is going to kill off all of the opposition. And so he kills off all of Gideon's sons except for Jotham, the youngest. It seems that 70 pieces of silver is the price that is paid to kill off all these men. And Abimelech then is declared king in Shechem. Look at verse 6 of chapter 9. And all the men of Shechem gathered together, and all the house of Milo, and went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. So Abimelech is declared king. It's a city, the Shechem was a city that's occupied by Jews and Canaanites both. And they say, yes, I think that's a good thing. I think Abimelech should be king. And so Abimelech is promoted as king. And so as he is promoted himself as king, Jonathan, the youngest son, the son, only surviving son of Gideon, stands before them, verse 7 of chapter 9. And when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood at the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. He says, hearken unto me, that God may hearken unto you. Jotham, although he was young, although he was a man that we don't see a great deal about other than this parable and this instance in his life, he called the men. He put himself in a place of danger. He stood on Mount Gerizim. Mount Gerizim would play a great part in the history of Israel after this. But he stood on Mount Gerizim and he cried to the men of Shechem. He said, men of Shechem, you need to listen to me. He was not only a leader, he was a prophet as well. For he says, listen to me, because God wants you to listen to him. And God wants to hear from you, that God may hearken unto you. Anointing a king. I find it interesting, the monarchies. I don't pay a lot of attention to them, but I find it interesting, we hear accounts of monarchies around the world and sometimes kings being overthrown. We probably hear, well, in the next 8 or 10 years, we'll have a new king. Queen Elizabeth is getting up in years, and she will pass away and a king will take the throne. Who that will be, I'm not sure. If Charles will take the throne, but it will be a great historic worldwide event when a king succeeds to the throne of Great Britain. It wasn't that way so much here. Kings were not internationally known characters, but more they were like governors of small territories. For if we look at the population here now and the territory, it really was not all that big. But it was an important responsibility. If you remember that later on in history, after the time of Judges and after Samuel has been the last judge, that the children of Israel decide they want a king like all the other nations. And so God tells Samuel, the problem is not that they have rejected you, Samuel, but they have rejected me. See, God's plan was that God would lead them through men. But they said, we want a king like all the other nations. And so they got just what they asked. You better be careful when you ask God for something. He might give you just what you ask for. Because they got a king. Saul was a king, just like all the other nations. Now later on, of course, God brought David on the scene. And David, a man after God's own heart, that was the height of the Jewish Empire, was the reign of David. And after that, the reign of Solomon was about 80 years. But they said, we want a king like all the other nations. And so Jotham stands there on the hill, and he must have had quite a voice. If you look at the men of Shechem were there at the bottom of the hill, and he stands and he proclaims with a voice, let me tell you a story. And he told them the parable of the trees. It says, the trees went forth, verse 8, on a time to anoint a king over them. The trees somehow thought that the right and responsibility to name a king belonged to them. They said, we will take it upon ourselves. We will go. We will select a king. We will select someone to rule over us. They thought our collective wisdom in selecting a king will obviously be right. You know, something I've noticed, and I haven't been around that long, something I've noticed that the collective wisdom of mankind is almost always wrong. Have you noticed that? I remember back in the 70s, a book was written, 20 Reasons Why This Present World Will Not Last Another 20 Years. Now, I know you're all pretty good at math, but it's lasted more than 20 years. I've heard disaster tales, things are going to happen to the world over and over and over again, that fluorocarbons were going to reduce the ozone layer in the atmosphere, and we were all going to get burned up because the ultraviolet rays were going to scorch everybody and the world would end. And then we heard accounts of nuclear winter. We heard accounts that somebody's going to set off a nuclear bomb, it's going to put so much dust in the air that the world will go into a deep freeze, and Mount Pinatubo exploded, and we heard a great tragedy was going to take place because the dust from Mount Pinatubo there in the Philippines was going to obliterate the sun across the whole world because millions of tons of dust were put in the air, and it was just going to, and it didn't happen. And now we have global warming. The seas are going to rise. You know, God said he put a bound on the seas. He said, there's a boundary. They can't go any further than that. God says that things will go on, summer and winter, until he says it's over. The collective wisdom of mankind is almost always wrong. And here the collective wisdom, the trees, go forth to anoint themselves a king. And so they go and they make a logical choice, if that's what they plan to do. They go to one of the most predominant trees in the Middle East, the olive tree. And so they come to the olive tree, and they said, the olive tree, reign thou over us. Now the olive tree could have said, oh my, aren't you're right. I am important. You're right. The rest of the trees are not near as important as I am. You're right that you know what? My olive berries are a substance, a staple for the diet. The olive oil that comes from those berries. The olive oil is essential to the service of God. It's essential to the diet here. Obviously, I am the right choice. Obviously, I am the one that deserves to be king because I have all of the attributes that a king should have. But the olive tree didn't say that. Notice what the olive tree did say. Should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? He said, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. Because if I become king, then my focus is not going to be on the berries that people enjoy. The focus is not going to be on the olive oil that is used in the service as to make an ointment in the service of the tabernacle. The olive oil is used important in the diet and many other things in Jewish life. The olive oil, he said, if I go to be promoted king, then I cannot be promoted over the, then I cannot do those things that are most important. The olive tree was old. The olive tree was stable. But he says, if I become king, I can't produce fruit. Honoring God and man is more important than promotion. You know, promotion seems to be the goal of many people in this life. That I want to be promoted. I want to have a better position. I want to have a better title. I want to have men under my, and women under my authority in the workplace. I want to have a position in the church where I am recognized as a leader. I want to be promoted. I think that I deserve promotion. But the olive tree said, no, no, no. No, no, no. Do you know what? Fruitfulness is more important. You know, I think of some of the people in our church, some dear people in our church. They don't have an official position in the church. They don't have a title before or after their name. But they're fruitful laborers. They're fruitful workers. Quietly, behind the scenes, without drawing attention to themselves, they're there. You ask them to do something, and they're more than willing to do it. You ask them to have a part, and they're more than willing to do it. They're fruitful laborers, much like the olive tree. They say, you know what, I don't need promotion. I don't need a title. I just want to serve God. So the olive tree rejects them. They go in their mind to the next logical choice, to the fig tree in verse 10. Now all the trees said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit to be promoted over the trees? The second choice was the fig tree. It was a stable tree, but not as old and well respected as the olive tree. Its fruit was eaten fresh and dried as well and preserved for to be consumed later on. It was a very important tree. And so the trees in their collective wisdom come to the fig tree. Say, fig tree, olive turned us down. You're obviously the next choice. And so we want you to be the king. You're respected. But the fig tree wisely rejects them as well. He says, I, like the olive tree, can't do both. If I focus my attention, if I focus my energy on being promoted and being king, then I cannot produce the figs that are so important to the diet of the people here. What do we learn from the fig tree? Nourishing others is more important than promotion. Nourishing others is more important than promotion. You know, title does not make a man or a woman, but a man or a woman make the title. You understand the difference? We have dear folks in our church that they don't have a title, but they believe it's important to nourish others. Nourish others by calling them, by visiting them, by praying for them, by encouraging them, by helping them. You see, it's not about a title. The fig tree says the title would hinder me from doing the things that I should be doing. Nourishing others is more important than promotion. I think the trees were getting a little frustrated now. They'd gone to the olive tree. They'd gone to the fig tree, and now they come to something that while it's wood, it's not really a tree at all. They come to the grapevine. In verse 12, then said the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. Think of this now. The vine is small. The vine without an arbor or something to climb on does not grow very big at all. But the trees, the collective wisdom, the trees says, vine, you come and you reign over us. The vine was not a tree at all, but was a stable, permanent plant. Grapes could be eaten fresh and dried to raisins or squeezed to make a refreshing and nourishing beverage. But the grapevine rejects them as well. Look at verse 13. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? He said, you know what? If I become king, there's something I have to leave behind. Now, wine in the Bible here, it could mean many things. Most often, it's the fresh beverage. Sometimes it's a preserved beverage. They would make syrup. I boil it down like they do maple syrup to make that. Wine can also refer to the grapes themselves or even to raisins. The words used interchangeably for all those things. He said, if I become king, there'll be no grapes. There'll be no grape juice. There'll be no raisins because I cannot do both. So the grapevine rejects them as well. Just like the first true trees, the vine didn't feel he could do both. Cheering and encouraging others is more important than promotion. Cheering and encouraging others is more important than promotion. The grapevine said, I don't need a title. I just want to help people. I don't need a title. I just want to encourage others. I don't need a title. I just want my life to be refreshing to others. I was at my sister-in-law's house down in Michigan. And we were there for a few days and we were leaving. And I said, it's going to be good to have your company gone. She said, oh no. I said, you know what? I forget where I saw a sign. It says, all of our company makes us happy. Some when they arrive, and some when they leave. You know, we want to be refreshing as Christians. We want people to be glad that we're around them. We want people to see our lives and say, I wish they could have been around a little longer. I'm sorry they had to leave so quick. You see, grapevine said, I want to be encouragement. I want to be refreshing to others. I don't want to be critical of others. I don't want to tear them down. I don't want to point out 7 things you did wrong today. I want to encourage others. Let me say this about pointing out things that are wrong. I was with someone not long ago, and they were talking about, in the Caribbean, the Windward and the Leeward Islands. And this gentleman told me, he said, you know, these islands, they were named after 2 captains. One was Captain Windward and one was Captain Leeward. Now, I know better than that. I know the Windward Islands are the side the wind blows on, and the Leeward Islands are the side that's protected a little more. But you know what? I didn't feel it necessary for myself to correct him. Say, no, I'm sorry. You're just terribly wrong. You're wrong. And give them my collective wisdom on Windward and Leeward Islands. You see, sometimes it's not important to correct someone else. If it doesn't hurt somebody's reputation or their resources, their family, some little things, you know, that you can just leave it. Be encouraging, be cheerful, be a help to others. We come to the last candidate for king. Then said the trees unto the bramble, come thou and reign over us. The bramble. The bramble was the last choice. The bramble was a nuisance. Only good if you could gather without getting stuck for a quick fire, it would burn quickly. Matter of fact, sometimes in the brambles, a fire would start spontaneously from the heat. The brambles would catch fire and cause damage to a lot of others. He refers to this a little bit later on. And the bramble said on the trees, if in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust under my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Oh my. He really thought something of himself, didn't he? There's a little thorny bush. He says, well, about time you came to see me about being king. I knew those others, they weren't going to handle the job. I can be king. After all, I don't have anything else to do. I serve no useful purpose. I should be king. I should have a title. I should have authority. I should have people to rule over because I am the bramble. He said, surely I deserve to be king. You know, I think over and over I've seen people who think they deserve to have a title, a position, a responsibility. And normally those that think they deserve it are not the ones that are the best qualified for it. The bramble said he believed himself worthy of the office. I should be king. He had an exaggerated sense of his own importance. He said, put your trust in my shadow. Now, the bramble cast a very small shadow. The olive tree, the fig tree, even the vines cast a much greater shadow than the brambles. But the bramble had an exaggerated sense of his own importance. He said, I'm going to rule, but I'm going to rule with cruelty and vengeance. He says, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. He says, if I'm king and you don't do what I tell you to do, there's going to be destruction and death and all kinds of things are going to happen. And he exaggerated the sense of his own importance. He said, look at me. He says, that fire will even devour the cedars of Lebanon, the great trees to the north. He said, I am greater than everything. Even though I'm a little bramble, I am the most important. I am going to have authority. I am going to have a position. I am going to have a title. He was blinded to his true size and worth. Now, what was Jotham getting at? Jotham was telling the people that Abimelech was not qualified to be king. That it wasn't up to Abimelech to promote himself to be king. It was only up to God to appoint a king. What lessons do we learn? A couple thoughts and I'll be done. True promotion comes from the Lord. True promotion comes from the Lord. As we're faithful, as we serve God, that God gives us responsibility. God may, in His grace, give us a position of responsibility or authority, give us a title. But that comes from the Lord, not from what we want, saying, I deserve this. Second thought, people do not change if they're promoted. People do not change if they're promoted. I see that I worked with men in construction, and I had a supervisor on a job tell me one time, he said, you know, he says, when I look to, and I was at, it was a job, a big job, a lot of men on the job. And he said, when I look to promote a supervisor over the laborers, I look for the laziest guy on the job. Because he's going to look himself and he is going to work the guys harder than everybody else because he knows he's lazy. And he's going to be lazy as a supervisor, but he's going to work the other guys to death. He says, his character is not going to change just because he gets promoted. True worth is not promotion. It's honoring God. It's nourishing others, having a sweet spirit. And it's being cheerful and encouraging others. True worth is honoring God, nourishing others with a sweet spirit, and cheering and encouraging others. See, it's not about a title. It's not about a position. It's not about advancement. It's about serving God and others. And that's what Jotham was trying to teach. And that's what we learned from the very first parable in the Bible. Serve God and serve others. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please?